This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price, who represents the Peach State's 6th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Republican leadership, serving as chairman of the House Republican Policy Committee. We want to get his thoughts today as Congress returns, the Senate today and the House tomorrow from the 4th of July recess, with less than a month until the deadline imposed by the Treasury Department to deal with the debt ceiling issue. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be with you again.
Well, the argument from your side of the aisle all along has been this is not a revenue problem. This is a spending problem. The White House, of course, as well as most congressional Democrats, saying revenues have to be on the table. The president insisting that the reverting of the top tax bracket rates that he allowed to stay lower due to the Bush rates back during the lame duck session, those have to go back up to where they were at the end of the Clinton administration. There seems to be an impasse here. How do you get around it?
Well, you get around it by siding with the people all across this great land, and what they understand is that it's not a revenue problem that Washington has. We're not in this boat because Washington doesn't tax enough. We're in this boat because Washington spends too doggone much money. And what the message that was sent to Washington last November was loud and clear, and it was stop the madness. And so what we have put on the table through our budget is a proposal that would decrease spending at the federal level, would get our budget in balance, and would pay off the debt over a period of time without raising taxes. We know you can do it. The other side continues to demagogue the issue and say no. They're just sticking their head in the sand saying no, we just want more taxes.
One of the ideas that's been out there, Senator McConnell mentioned a couple weeks ago, Senator Cornyn mentioned again on Fox News Sunday, and that's that perhaps there could be a very short-term extension of the debt ceiling while lawmakers have a little extra time to deal with all the thorny issues for a longer-term strategy. What do you make of that approach?
On its face, that doesn't sound like a very good idea to me. What we've done for the past number of years is to have short-term extensions without any real fundamental reform. We think that the kick in the can down the road that has brought about has brought us a $14.3 trillion debt that is unsustainable and that destroys the American dream for our kids and for our grandkids. So a short-term extension without any agreement on the specifics of long-term fundamental reform is likely unacceptable.
Congressman, let me get your thoughts on what actually happens August 2nd. Some say if something's not done by midnight that day, then very shortly thereafter, the U.S. economy goes off a cliff. Others say, look, we've got plenty of revenues to deal with our debt obligations and bonds and other responsibilities. We would just have to make some very difficult decisions on other spending priorities. What's the reality come August 3rd if nothing's done?
Well, I think it's more the latter than the former. I think it's important for people to appreciate that that the United States will not default regardless of what happens. Defaulting would mean that we wouldn't pay our creditors, and that's just not going to happen. The percent of the federal budget that goes to paying our creditors right now is about 6%. So there isn't any reason that can't be paid because we'll have about 70 cents on the dollar coming in. What will happen, though, is that we will go into arrears on certain liabilities, certain programs that the federal government currently covers. And the problem with that, as your listeners likely know, is that it's the president who selects which areas we don't pay. And he's already begun the demagoguery of saying, well, we won't be able to pay for student loans, we won't be able to pay for the troops, we won't be able to pay for Social Security, and on and on and on. You don't hear coming out of his mouth, let's not pay for the EPA, let's not pay for the Department of Energy, let's not pay for the vast majority of the Department of Education, let's not pay for the majority of the Department of the Interior, the Department of Commerce. The vast majority of those departments don't do significantly programs that result to the benefit of the American people. So we could prioritize appropriately and still continue to pay those things that must be paid, which are our troops and our seniors.
Congressman, real quickly, what was your reaction to his repeated reference last week in his press conference to the tax loophole on corporate and private jets?
Well, again, it's the class warfare and demagoguery that the president uses as his stock and trade. It really is sad, I think. It's the kind of lack of leadership that we've been citing from virtually the very beginning of this administration to have a gentleman who had such promise, such remarkable promise, and to have him wasted on these remarkably petty partisan politics that he plays over and over and over again.
We're talking with Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Prison. Congressman, you mentioned very clearly, as have many of your colleagues, that tax increases are not on the table as you see it in dealing with this. There has been some discussion, mainly by Senator Coburn, about possibly reforming the tax code in other ways in terms of deductions that might not otherwise be there. Some see that as tax hikes as well. Others see that as just tax reform, which could be an acceptable compromise if Democrats would even agree to that. What's your take on that approach to the tax code?
Well, I think if it's revenue neutral, that is, that if it doesn't increase the amount of money available for the federal government, then that's something that we ought to be talking about. Those are the kinds of reforms that we've been discussing for years. What does not need to happen is that we don't need to continue to pay the beast. We've got to turn off the spigot. The amount of spending in Washington is way too much. We don't need to increase the amount of spending coming from Washington. What we need to do is to prioritize on the programs and the policies that we ought to continue, that ought to be the responsibility of the federal government, and identify those that ought to be ended or sent back to the states, and appropriately decrease the spending at the federal level.
If there is no short-term extension, how do you expect this eventually to shake out? Will we go into a period of going into arrears, do you think, or will one side or the other eventually give a little ground?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. I don't know. I'm hopeful that what will happen is that the president will see the wisdom of our proposal, will accept that, and will say, "Look, I've talked to the other side and recognize that they've got some good ideas that will balance the budget and pay down the debt, and we're going to move in that direction."
You mentioned, sir, that last year the voters said loud and clear that they wanted a change in this area of our government's performance, and most analysis would suggest that that's certainly the case. At the same time, though, they seem to be a little bit leery of a potential government shutdown, like we saw with the continuing resolution, and perhaps what we've been talking about here, if nothing happens in the next month or so. How ready do you think the American people are for this type of difficult decision-making and perhaps serious cutting in order to actually get us back into fiscal order?
Well, I know that they're ready for the reductions in the size and the scope and the reach of the federal government. But frankly, they are confounded by the inability of Washington to function, to not come up with a solution together. The American people, by and large, don't care whether it's Republicans or Democrats in charge. They just want people, men and women of honor and principle, to stand up and solve the challenges that we face, which is why it's so incredibly frustrating for those of us who have attempted to put positive proposals on the table to have them rebuffed out of hand by an administration that refuses to even have a conversation about things that they don't ideologically believe in.
Last question before we let you go. You've just, in fact, you maybe still are wrapping up a district work period over the 4th of July recess. I would imagine a lot of the discussion has been about this. What have you heard most of all?
Mostly it's stand tall. Don't blink. The people of this of my district, the 6th District of Georgia, and of this state and nation understand that there are very few times when you can actually have the momentum and the ability to change the direction and reform positively the federal government. This is one of those times, and they understand that.
Now, we're under a month now. We'll see exactly how this all shakes out. It should be a very interesting month. Congressman, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
You too, sir. Republican Georgia Congressman Tom Price represents his state's 6th Congressional District, member of the House Republican leadership as chairman of the House Republican Policy Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.